Welcome to Dietitians Uncorked, a podcast hosted by Kat and Kelly, two registered dietitians who co-founded Nutriving, a virtual nutrition practice. We talk all things food, nutrition, life, and of course, wine. This is a judgment-free zone where all foods fit and all bodies are welcome. Thanks for listening. Hi everyone, welcome back to Dietitians Uncorked. We are psyched to have you back. This episode is about exercise and just kind of how we think about it. We are here with wine, of course, as tradition. We do want to let you know that we have services one-on-one. We are taking patients to if you know someone or if you're interested in seeing what kind of services we have on our website, www.nutriving.com, you can go to our services tab and see what's up. We do have a group program that will be available soon. We will let you know if that's something you might want to look into. We have a lovely video on our website. If you want to take a look at it, we do have bloopers of that said video that we have yet to release. So that needs to happen. Anyway, Kelly, how are you?
I forgot about those bloopers. I am doing well. I'm well. It's Friday. The sun is shining. Happy to be recording with you as always. How have you been?
Good, good. It's the end of the week. We tend to record on Fridays and, you know, this week was, I'm a little tired. I feel it. It's Friday and my body knows it.
Time for a rest.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So we have an interesting episode today. Before we get into that, I want to know what you have there drinking. What's on your glass? In your glass? On your glass?
Either one. In. So it's winter here still. It's very cold today, but I was in the mood for something a little bit lighter. So I have a Sauvignon Blanc, which is my preferred white wine variety. It's from New Zealand. It's called Frenzy Sauvignon Blanc, and it was really affordable. I got it from Binny's right by me, and it was like $12, which is a really sweet spot for wine, especially when it's good. And this one I really enjoy. It has kind of like fruity notes, but it's not, you know, overly sweet. It's still got that like crisp, dry Sauvignon Blanc style. So very pleased. What about you?
That's awesome. I am drinking a Cabernet Sauvignon, as one might expect. If you just took a guess at what I'm drinking, it's a high chance. It's a high chance that you might guess I right if you say Cabernet Sauvignon. It's called Entre Vientos. It's a Chilean wine. It's very cheap, but it's really good. It's the kind of wine you should keep around the house, you know, just to drink on weeknights or when you're preparing a meal. It's not much of a drink without food kind of wine, you know. However, we are just doing it because it's here and available.
Sounds like a good staple to have.
Yeah. So tell me about exercise and mindset. I think that this topic is a large one and we can go into many directions, but we kind of want to touch on our personal experience from a perspective of dietitians and how we see this become either something wonderful or something that really tends to hurt people.
For sure. And of course, we are dietitians. We are focusing, you know, on nutrition and on food the majority of the time. But, you know, we can't deny that people come to us with health goals, right? And movement is a big part of that. So we wanted to go through, we're really honing in on mindset today. So we wanted to go through some common mindsets that we see when we discuss movement with clients. And honestly, I would say this is really reflective of, you know, conversations that I've had with friends and family as well. I think that these mindsets that we are going to talk about today are really prevalent. And so that's why we wanted to do an episode just to kind of go through what are those prevalent mindsets and, you know, why do we think that way? And is there a way that might be more helpful, like to kind of shift a little bit? How could that help you achieve your health goals a little bit easier? Just like less, you know, stress, less anxiety, less self-doubt. So that's what we're hoping to deliver today. So one first common mindset we wanted to go through was using exercise specifically and kind of only to burn calories. And I have found, I don't know about you, Kat, but I have found this to be more prevalent with the rise of Apple Watches and how many people have, you know, Apple Watches, because that is the little ring is referring to calories burned. So if you compare that, not to like shit on Apple Watches or anything. I love Apple Watches. They are super convenient, but I think for some people, they can make them hyper-focus on that specific metric because that's what they display, right? It's over, you know, steps, for example, which is more prevalent to show with like a Fitbit or one of the other, you know, millions of trackers that are out there. But I think sometimes people get in this mindset of like, I need to work out until I burn, you know, X amount of calories. And so kind of like what we've talked about with, you know, following certain diets or food rules, again, you're kind of putting your behavior on an external cue instead of really tuning inwards and thinking like, how do I feel during this workout? This walk or yoga, strength training, how do I feel, you know, and how is my heart rate responding? What's my energy level? Like things like that are more internal signals versus I want to burn 100 calories or 200 calories with this workout.
Totally. I think too, when we think of the recommendations of exercise, flexibility is one where we talk about, especially in aging, how being able to be flexible and achieve balance, things like that. Some of these things have nothing to do with overt energy expenditure that might correlate with a specific number of calories. That doesn't mean that it's less important or shouldn't be part of your weekly routine. Unless you can burn like 300 and 600 calories. And the problem with focusing on that number is that you are just doing workouts that can be wonderful for you, but what dictates, what drives that movement is a number instead of actually understanding, you know, your overall needs, what your body needs overall, which is a wonderful thing to be able to have a variety of physical activity, but it's really limiting to look at it from that one number perspective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And that kind of leads into another common mindset that we see, which is doing exercise solely to earn food. So these can sometimes go hand in hand. You know, if you're looking at specifically how many calories you're burning in a specific exercise session, as a route to like, oh, okay, I can eat, you know, this pizza or these cookies or this glass of wine because I burned X amount of calories during my workout. It puts you in a place to kind of ignore those other benefits, like the, you know, you just went through, flexibility, for example. That's, of course, not something you can measure by looking at a watch or the display on a treadmill, you know, and seeing how many calories you burned. So it kind of can lend itself to ignoring the other benefits of exercise, which long term, like if you're trying to develop a healthy relationship with movement that's going to serve you throughout your lifespan, it is so helpful to tune into all of the benefits of exercise instead of just, you know, the numbers or just a single factor. Because when you can learn to appreciate all of the benefits that movement can bring to your life, it continues to be motivating for you. And that can like really build that intrinsic motivation to help carry you through life stages and kind of adjust your workout routines, you know, as you go through life.
Yeah. Another common mindset we see a lot is using exercise as punishment. And it's a tricky punishment because no one's going to look at you working out and be like, oh, be kind to yourself, you know? Or look at you in alarm and say, this is a bad coping mechanism or whatever. Because exercise is healthy and it's something that we all benefit from. There's no doubt about the benefits of exercise. But when we are using it as a punishment mechanism, we can get lost in that. I have seen many people have to take breaks from very strenuous physical activity regimen because the internal motivation was actually something kind of ugly and nasty underneath. And when we pursue changes in our lives from such a bad place, the benefits are not actually what you're looking for. Even if you're growing muscles and your heart's working and you're feeling better, at the end of the workout, if it's punishment that you are kind of looking for, what you get at the end of that workout will not be anything good. It won't be good.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen this? Have you had any friends to kind of use like casual language with the punishment thing in exercise?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean, I think that is very prevalent, especially in like high, you know, intensity workouts, like people who might do like those really intense classes, that, you know, often focus on how many calories you burned and all of that. It's like, you know, push yourself. Like just the language around it is aggressive, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And don't get me wrong. I love an aggressive, like, come on, you can do it. This is, you know, a moment to shine. I do well. I respond well to that. Mm-hmm. But I've also been in a mindset, personally, when I'm doing something and I'm just feeling like my body's exhausted and mm-hmm. I'm just like, oh, you are so lazy. You can do better. Like, look at this. And I begin to negative self-talk mm-hmm. my way through a routine. And it is not fun. Even when I'm able to finish, I feel nasty because I was nasty mm-hmm. to myself. It's just, ugh, I've been there. Also, with the punishment side, kind of relating to earning food, it's like, I ate an extra slice of whatever. I'm going to punish myself and have to do 15 minutes more of whatever. And that also feels really, it can put you in a cycle or in a mental state where it's complicated and it's hurtful.
Yeah.
It's the opposite of listening to your body. It's the opposite of practicing self-compassion and self-care. Even when exercising itself can be part of self-care, if your mental state is somewhere else, it can be part of something real nasty.
Yeah. That makes me think, I read this book recently that was about, you know, mindset, not related to exercise, but one of the lines in the book was, what you focus on, you create more of. And it was repeated like throughout the book. And that just like really stuck with me, you know, because I think there's a lot of truth in that. Like, and when we're speaking about mindset around exercise, if the thoughts that are running through your mind are always related to punishment or to earning something or to burning a certain amount of calories, then that's all you can focus on, right? You're not entertaining, like we mentioned before, the other benefits of exercise. And so you're zooming in on that, and that's your takeaway, you know? And like you were speaking about, if it's in the like the punishment realm, then you don't feel good. Like, you don't feel good during.
Yeah.
You don't feel good after. It's just not fun.
Because it was punishment.
Right.
I mean, what kind of punishment is like, oh, yeah, this feels great. I love it. Another way we sometimes can see a mindset issue when it comes to physical activity is exercise to change your body in some way. This is a difficult one to explain because, of course, some people go to the gym in order to change their body, right? So it would be like, well, duh, you know, like I'm trying to gain muscle here in specific areas. This is why I lift this weight and I do this specific motion. We're not really talking about that per se. We're talking about the root motivation of like my body isn't enough and I need to change my body completely through exercise. Usually this leads to excessive exercise. It's the kind of person, and you probably know someone if you're listening to this that has this compulsion. It's compulsive to exercise anytime they have free time, after work, before work, during. It seems like workout is throughout their day. And when I'm talking about this, I don't really mean to like cast judgment on people who work out all the time. We don't know what their motivation is, and it is not my place to judge that, right? So I'm not going to make anyone feel bad for wanting to exercise every free moment they have. It's their choice, right? I guess what I'm trying to shed light into is sometimes there could be a pull of motivation, a root desire to completely change your body through exercise, and it becomes an obsessive behavior that when you look internally, you can see that it isn't a positive thing. It doesn't come from a place of self-compassion and self-care. It comes from a place of judgment and self-loathing many times.
Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of the mindsets we've gone through so far can result in people doing exercise routines that are maybe too intense, right, for their body, and they end up, you know, not feeling well, and it's not something that's sustainable because it is too intense and it's not enjoyable. And when that happens, you kind of just go through this cycle of like working out for a little bit, taking a break because you're just like had it with it, like you don't want to do it anymore, it's too intense, you're not feeling good, and then you kind of go through that cycle again. So really what we wanted to bring up today is a different approach to thinking about movement so that you can move away from that cycle and instead really think about what type of exercise, like what activities, what, you know, duration, what makes you feel your best so that you can kind of find a routine that's more sustainable. Because really what we're looking to do is support our bodies and take care of our bodies and give ourselves the best, you know, the best lives, like the best physical life we can as we kind of age and move through the world. It makes me think a lot. I've definitely had a lot of clients who struggle with joint pain, arthritis, and they kind of receive this message that, you know, especially from physicians that they need to lose weight. And if you lose weight, your joint pain will disappear and you'll feel so much better, which there's some validity. You know, if you're potentially carrying less weight, sure, you have less pressure on the joints, but that does not mean that the only solution is to do like very high intensity exercise where you experience a lot of pain. Like if you're experiencing that level of pain during your workouts, that's not going to be something you want to continue, you know?
I can think of so many times where people have used exercise in a level of intensity as a way to shame other people. It's kind of ridiculous because if somebody just shows up to exercise, it's like, that's a win for me. Mm-hmm. And you are taking that time to do something for your body and for your future self. And for us to shame people on whether they're sweating hard enough or whether they were able to jump as high or whatever, it's so stupid. And how many times have you seen like a celebrity coach or whatnot yell nasty things to people who are just trying to follow along with their routine? Just like with food, that personal trainer or whatever has no idea what that body has been through.
Mm-hmm.
No idea. Just like we don't know whoever shows up at the gym, you know, are they recovering from a horrible illness? Is their emotional state going through something right now where exercise feels draining and yet they are still there?
Mm-hmm.
Who are we to say, you know, dude, that guy came and stayed here for 15 minutes and left. What a lazy piece of shit. Like, we don't know, yeah. You know, So I hate that we use exercise, something that can be so life-giving, as something so poisonous.
For sure. And I think what it comes down to is all of us are trying to find ways to move our body in a way that makes you feel good. Like that's what ideally we want people to strive for. And that's going to look completely different for everyone. And it's going to change throughout your life as you age, depending on, you know, what medical conditions come up, injuries. Like, there are so many factors, kind of like with nutrition. We talk about all the factors that influence our meal mm-hmm. choices, and no one is in a place to judge other people because you have no idea what that person is going through. And that's not, you know, that's not helpful at all. I think, you know, one way to try to shift out of these spaces, which again can be difficult if you have these messages coming at you, like push harder and, you know, run when maybe you're more comfortable walking, like these messages to just keep pushing kind of makes it seem like more gentle exercise, you know, doesn't count, right? Or it's not enough.
Yeah.
Which is not true at all.
Not true at all. At all.
Yeah. Like, we really want to find routines that are sustainable, just like Kat and I talk about dietary pattern, like meals and snacks that are sustainable. Like, we want you to follow a pattern that you feel like you can do that, you know, for the rest of your life. And that's the same way as how we encourage people to think about movement or exercise, physical activity, whatever word resonates with you, but really finding routines that make you feel good so that you can continue it and you want to continue it and you can tap into that internal motivation instead of, you know, external cues. Like, I need to burn this amount of calories. I want to eat this, so I need to do this workout. Like, that type of, you know, mentality that we are talking about. So I think really all of that, I say that to explain kind of this shift from I have to thinking, like a lot of the mindsets we just reviewed come from a place of I have to do this. Like, I have to burn this amount of calories. I have to do this so that I can eat that piece of cake at the birthday party later. I have to do this to change my body because my doctor said to lose weight. Like, all of that comes from a place of I have to. And a helpful way, we hope, you know, this episode will encourage you to think about it, is moving from I have to like I get to. So I get to move my body. Like, I have time today, even if it's 5 minutes, 10 minutes, I get to move my body today, whatever that looks like for you. Like, even, and we'll go into some specific, you know, mindsets to move to, but even just that shift, again, like, it shifts your focus. So now you're not thinking mm-hmm. about like the external and kind of the negative things that we discussed. Instead, you're thinking about what positives, like, what can this bring to my life today?
Yeah. That's so important too, because I think when we talk about exercise in such a limiting lens of I have to exercise to look this way or do, you know, X, Y, or Z, it becomes an expectation, of course. Like, if I exercise, if I'm somebody who's sedentary and all of a sudden I am doing these like very high intensity routines 5 days a week, I'm gonna expect to look like the people that they're promoting, right? To look like the stereotypical fit person. And my body looks different than that. It might look different after 5 days. It might look different after a year of doing that intensity. It might look different from where I started, but it may not be a complete transformation. And I think a lot of people get so discouraged mm-hmm. because they've been told that exercise is for you to look X, Y, or Z. They get to the other end of being a little bit more consistent with their exercise routine, and they realize their body is not what was promised. And I feel like that is so toxic because that person has completely changed, probably, their metabolic ability, you know, mm-hmm. the way that their systems are working together in a wonderful, fantastic way. And instead of celebrating that, because we're only focused on the outer shell, people can get really discouraged mm-hmm. because that's what they've been promised. And it goes to show exercise can be such a wonderful thing, and then it can also be such a shitty thing in people's lives.
Definitely. And there's really entirely too much messaging around that to focus on what your body looks like and how you can change it and all of the things we've gone through. And we need more messaging that is the flip side. So you don't yeah. have to do this because of X, Y, or Z. You get to move your body, and maybe your benefit that you're focusing on is stress reduction. Like, exercise does wonders for stress reduction. And I can personally speak to this for sure. I feel like it has become such an outlet for me. And if I, like, it's been a long time since I've been consistently exercising, and it is something I look forward to every day that I get to do it. But that takes a lot of time to develop that relationship with movement. And so if you're, again, if you're in that cycle of like starting a workout routine that's maybe just too intense and it's not enjoyable and you're feeling pain and you're constantly starting over, it makes it almost impossible to get to that point because you're not giving yourself space to experiment with different types of movement and things that might feel a lot better to you. And then you never get to those benefits because you're just stuck in this loop. But stress reduction to me is like gold. Like, it is one of the biggest benefits for me of consistently moving my body.
We talked in a previous episode about how your brain is a living organ and not a computer, and how it evolved outside. And so how taking breaks, outside or doing movement, something physical that it engages, not just, we're not computers where you can just like reboot us. We reboot by doing physical activity, by mm-hmm. moving through a 3D space. And that can do wonders, even just productivity for your mental state, for your emotional reality in that moment. Doing some physical activity can really change the way you feel about where you are. And that kind of power, I mean, that's just amazing. Mm-hmm. That's a wonderful benefit. I think about exercise I measure kind of success when I feel stronger. I've talked about being able to grab more groceries and be like, yes, I can move, I feel very proudful of like, I have the muscles mm-hmm. to do this. And it's a privilege, yeah. I get to have these muscles that help me. Now I'm 5'2" for our listeners, and I'm not a big person. So how much I'm able to carry. Exactly. It's not very impressive, but I'm excited when I get to do that. I recently went on a trip. I went to the north of Chile with my sister, and we went on this hike that we believed it was going to be something really short. We actually put it on the calendar on a day that we were like, we'll just do this in the morning, we'll come back, have lunch, and then we'll do this in the afternoon. Oh my God. We decided to rent bikes, and we went uphill on bikes for like an hour and a half this like pretty rocky area. It was pretty intense. And then once we no longer could go up in bikes, we had to leave our bikes. And then we had to go on this like 30-minute hike that was serious, some serious hiking. I mean, it was also the altitude was like crazy high. Mm-hmm. And so there were moments where your lungs were like, what the hell are you doing? You know, and so we had to stop, even if we didn't feel that tired, but it felt like there wasn't really enough oxygen kind of flowing through your body. We did all that. We came down. We were exhausted, hungry, thirsty, dehydrated. I mean, mm-hmm. all those things. But I couldn't help but feel really proud of my body's ability to hang in there for dear life, because I didn't know what I was getting myself into. There's no way that I would have gone like that without any snacks or enough water to do all this stuff. But I feel that I've my exercise routine and just being able to be consistent really was a wonderful, rewarding moment that I was able to get to the top of that hill, enjoy the beautiful view, get down and be like, oh my God, this body, I have no idea how you did it, but like, that's a fantastic thing. I am stronger than I was probably last year. Mm-hmm. And I'm very excited about that.
That's amazing. That sounds really hard, but I'm sure so rewarding, especially, you know, the sights you get to see and everything. It makes me think too, like, sometimes it's easy to start to compare yourself to other people and like the fitness level that they're at. And I think anyone who, like, we're all human, we've all done that, right, at a given time. But of course, it's not helpful. You think about how it makes you feel, you know, it's not a very adaptive behavior. So really trying to compare yourself, like you were saying, you know, you feel like you're stronger now than you were a year ago, like comparing yourself to, you know, yesterday to today, to the last week, the past 6 months, mm-hmm. the past year, like that is where you can really tap into like that intrinsic, that really internal, just like a deep motivation, because you see what your body, you know, is capable of. And, you know, sometimes you might start real low, right? Like Kat knows this, but I've had a lot of knee issues and I've had knee surgery on both knees at a point in my life where I was already exercising very consistently and not being able to work out, like when I was on crutches for, you know, 2 or 3 months at a time, was really difficult for me. And to not be able to move my body, I had to really, it took a toll. Like it took a toll on my mental health, but I had to focus on like, okay, what can you do? Like, I cannot go for a run. I cannot bike. I can't even walk. So I had to be content with, you know, being able to do like little arm videos, and I had to find joy in other things too, like finding joy in being able to cook and, you know, anything I could to try to hold on to that. And then when I was going through rehab and like finally starting to walk again, and just like the joy that I felt from going to not being able to walk or really do a lot of things for myself to simply being able to walk was like so rewarding. And even though I couldn't do many of the things that I previously could do, I still, like, it didn't help me to focus on that, right? Like, I, at this point, can't really run. It's way too painful for my knees. And I just have to let that go, even though that was part of me for a long time. And I think it's just about finding contentment in the level that you're at right now, you know, compared to where you've been. And it, you know, that changes through our life. Obviously, as I've shared, I've gone through a lot of, you know, serious injuries and serious surgeries. But, you know, other clients that we've had are dealing with arthritis, people going through, you know, different medical conditions and injuries that are certainly going to affect, you know, what you can do long term. And so all of that is to say, it is super important to really listen to your body about, you know, what feels good and what are you going to be able to do? Because again, the purpose is to find that like long-term sustainable, you know, movement pattern that makes you feel good and that, you know, serves as that stress reduction for you and makes you feel strong. Like that is what we want, you know, everyone to be able to find.
I think too, when we think of taking care of our body and we talk about nutrition, disease prevention, and trying to give our bodies the best tool in order to fight illnesses and the prevention of inflammation and all that stuff. With exercise, it's the same. You take care of your current self by exercising, but you take care of your future self too by exercising. This isn't about having a flat stomach.
Nope.
It just isn't. I think exercise is so much more. Mm-hmm. It's so much more. It's about, you know, helping move certain muscles in a way that probably they weren't moving before and they feel stronger. It's about helping you stabilize. It's about helping you walk and not have knee pain or back pain. It's about helping your core be strong so it supports your breathing muscles. I mean, we are still living through a pandemic. Some people have gotten COVID with long-term side effects that prevent them from doing strenuous activity. They do not breathe like they were able to do so before they contracted the virus. And so that sort of mentality of like wanting to take care of yourself or your future self gives you a little wiggle room to know that, okay, maybe I don't run however many miles I did before. I do less, and then I work on helping my resistance, helping breathing in, helping other sides of my body that probably need to be supported as well at this time. So our philosophy with nutrition really aligns with this mentality when it comes to exercise, because it's about listening to your body. Mm-hmm. And when you do, you get to grow in a much more meaningful way, in a way that gives you the meaning and the value you are looking for, not the one that other people expect of you or preach that, you know, a certain meal plan or exercise routine will yield specific results. This is about what you want. Mm-hmm. This is about what you value, you know?
Yeah, for sure. So if we could leave you with anything, we hope that this episode maybe inspired you to get a little curious about what has been driving your, you know, experience with exercise. Like, what is that root motivation? And if you feel like it's coming from one of the places that we talked about earlier, maybe driven from shame, wanting to change your body, wanting to follow, you know, some kind of external guideline, try to, you know, sit back a little bit and maybe be open to the possibility that there are other benefits, you know, waiting for you. And if you could just open your mind enough to kind of recognize and bring that awareness to the fact that those are already there, like those are hands down benefits of exercise. And if we can acknowledge them and accept them and kind of create more focus around them, that's really going to help you in terms of kind of maintaining that motivation and helping you find the routine that makes you feel good, whatever that is. So we hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you like what we have been discussing, we would love to hear from you. We are on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Reviews are super helpful for letting us reach more people. So if you have enjoyed anything, if you have any requests, especially, we would love to hear from you. You can message us on Facebook or on Instagram, and that's at Nutriving. So we would love to hear from you. And we thank you so much for spending some time with us today. We will have a new episode for you next week. So we will see you soon.
Bye.
Bye.